If you have your Bibles, let's turn into 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4 is going to be our focus of study for the next couple weeks. Actually, the letter of 1 John. If you're able, I want to invite you to stand to your feet for the reading of God's word. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1. When everybody's there, say amen. I didn't hear no amen. Say hold on. Y'all still alive out there? If you're not there, say hold on. All right. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, and the scripture reads like this. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, and we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We open up your word to feast. We open up your word to eat. We pray that you feed us joy, feed us faith, feed us strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing and the doing of his word. The old folks used to say that. I love saying that. Anybody remember that statement? Anybody remember that? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word. Today, I'm excited because we're going to start a new study series on the weekend entitled Living in the Know. Someone say Living in the Know. We, as a church family, are going to work our way through the letter of 1 John, passage by passage. During the next several Sundays, we're going to work our way passage by passage through this little powerful letter. And this is going to be a time of discovery. It's going to be a time of learning and growing. How many need to learn in the Lord? How many need to grow in the Lord? So I want to challenge you to bring your spiritual appetite to church. I want to challenge you every Sunday to bring your spiritual appetite. There's one thing about spiritual appetite is that God feeds you at the level of your appetite. He feeds you at the level of your appetite. If you come to church spiritually hungry, then he's going to meet you at that level. If you come to church without no spiritual appetite, then he's going to meet you at that level. Whatever level you're on, he's going to meet you at your appetite. I remember the prophet Jeremiah said, you don't have to turn there, but he said in Jeremiah 15, 16, he said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. He said, thy word was found, and I did eat them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. We come to eat the word of God this morning. And God is going to feed us joy, feed us faith. As we expose ourselves to the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord transforms us. The word of the Lord molds us and shapes us. The word of the Lord cuts things off of our life that we don't need in upon our life. With the word of God comes power and miracles. Anybody believe that this morning? So we come to eat the word of God. Now, whenever you go to study any one of the letters in the Bible, one of the first things that you need to do is you need to do some research on the background of who God used to write the letter and what was going on at the time of the writing of the letter. You got to do your background. So before we jump into the passage of Scripture, I want us to understand a little bit about the background of 1 John. Anybody follow along with me this morning? One of the first things you need to understand is that the Apostle John wrote this letter. The Apostle John wrote this letter. He also wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation, and the Gospel of John. God, the Lord used him to write many of the letters in the Bible. It's interesting about John is that he was the youngest apostle to be called by Jesus. Many scholars believe that John was about 19 years old when Jesus picked him up and called him and anointed him to be an apostle. I love that Jesus was calling young men to follow him. And how many know that God is still calling young men and women today to give their lives for the kingdom of God? Even though he was the youngest apostle to be called, on the flip side, he was the oldest apostle to die. Many scholars believe that he died about the age of 85 years old, and he was the only apostle to die of a natural death. Every other apostle died a martyr's death. That means they died because of their faith. They died for their faith. John is the only apostle that died a martyr, a natural death. He died of natural causes. But that is not to say that that brother did not go through a lot of things in life. That is not to say that he didn't go through hell and high water, because they tried to kill John. They actually boiled him in hot oil to try to kill him, but he miraculously survived. Can you imagine what he looked like when he wrote this letter? Can you imagine what he felt like when he wrote this letter? They tried to kill him by boiling him in hot oil, but he miraculously survived. That brother had a testimony of enduring hell and high water. What's interesting about John is that his brother was the Apostle James. His brother was the Apostle James. And Jesus nicknamed them the Sons of Thunder. Jesus nicknamed them the Sons of Thunder in Mark chapter 3. Why do you think Jesus nicknamed them the Sons of Thunder? Y'all thought you were the only one that gave nicknames. Jesus was given nicknames too. Why do you think Jesus nicknamed them the Sons of Thunder? We suspect it was because that brother had an anger management problem. We suspect it was because that brother had emotional problems. That brother had anger problems. In fact, when you study a little bit about the bio of Apostle John in the Gospels, you'll learn that one time in Luke chapter 9, he actually tried to call down fire from heaven to burn up an entire village because he felt rejected. Imagine that. The brother felt rejected. He was so emotionally unstable that he actually wanted to call down fire from heaven to burn down the entire village because he felt rejected. And Jesus had to rebuke him and tell him, "You know not what spirit you are of." That brother had emotional problems. Brother had anger management problems. The powerful thing is that Jesus turned this Son of Thunder into the Apostle of Love. He transformed this Son of Thunder into the Apostle of Love, because the Apostle of Love is John's title, or his title now. That's what he's referred to nowadays. He's referred to as the Apostle of Love because of the work that Jesus did in his heart. Jesus turned him from an angry man to a merciful man. Jesus transformed him from an angry man to a compassionate man. He had a testimony of how Jesus can transform a heart. This is encouraging to us, because some of us have family members that are buck wild right now. Some of us have family members that are acting crazy right now. And maybe even some of us are giving up not praying for them anymore because we think there's no hope for them. Well, I want to remind you this morning that God is still in the business of giving new hearts. God is still in the business of transforming hearts. In fact, he promised in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, he said, "I will give you a new heart and a new spirit within you." So don't ever give up praying for your relative. God can give your husband a new heart. Hello, somebody. God can give your wife a new heart. Hello, somebody. He's into transforming hearts. Now, the purpose for writing this book, or letter, I should say, was to help us live in the know. Someone say, live in the know. Why did John write this letter? Why did the Holy Spirit inspire him to write this letter? It was to help him to live, or us, to live in the know. K-N-O-W. John wanted us to know Jesus. John wanted us to know joy. John wanted us to know fellowship. John wanted us to know eternal life. That's why he wrote this letter. He wrote this letter so that we may live in the know. Now, I got two main reflections for us this morning. Just two. I want to lay at your feet. I think they'll be encouraging. Now, remember, as we study the Bible, the Word of the Lord transforms us. As we study the Bible, the Word of the Lord forms us and encourages us. Even as I speak the word of the Lord over you today, there is power that is shooting forth from the word of God into your heart and feeding your faith. Everybody ready for these two reflections? Someone say number one. The early believers experienced Jesus. The early believers experienced Jesus. Now, I want to call your attention to a repetition of words that John uses in these first two verses. I want you to notice that he uses these words several times. He says, we have heard, we have seen, we have handled, and he uses this word manifested. I want you to notice a couple times he uses this word. We have heard, we have seen, we have handled, and this life was manifested. Remember, I always teach the church, whenever the Lord repeats himself in the Bible, you got to circle the words. You got to highlight the words. Listen, do not protect your Bible. Write in your Bible. Highlight in your Bible. This is not to be protected. This is not to be put up on a shelf and looked at as a beautiful thing. This is a powerful thing. So when God repeats himself in words in the Bible, circle it, underline it, highlight it. Notice in this passage of Scripture, he uses the word heard, seen, handled, manifested a couple times. And all these words express experience. All these words express experience, because to the early believers, Jesus wasn't just about accumulating facts. Jesus was to be experienced. To the early believers, Christianity wasn't just based on facts, but it was also included experiencing. Yes, Christianity is about facts. Yes, the life of Jesus is a fact. Yes, the death of Jesus is a fact. Yes, the resurrection of Jesus is a fact. Yes, Christianity is about facts, but it's not just all about facts. It's all about experiencing the power of the resurrection, experiencing the living Jesus, experiencing the power of the Holy Ghost. Is anybody picking up what I'm putting down? I want to kind of pound the pavement with this, that the early believers had an encounter with Jesus. The early believers had an encounter with the Holy Ghost. The early believers had an encounter with the kingdom of God. John wrote this letter to remind us that Christianity is not just about information, but it's more so about transformation. John wrote this letter to remind us that we too can come into a living encounter with the Savior. John wrote this letter to remind us that Christianity is not just in the head, but it's in the heart. In fact, I remember someone said that faith that is just in the head is dead. The reason why we preach the gospel, the reason why we preach the word of God over and over again, it is to move it from your head to your heart. Because as long as it stays in your head, there will be no transformation power. Have you ever met Christians that had 1,000 verses memorized, but they were still struggling with the basic things? That's why we preach the word over and over again, because I gotta pound it. I gotta pound it from your head to your heart. Now, the word know, K-N-O-W, is used in this short letter about 20 times. It's used in this short letter about 20 times. This word know refers to experiential knowledge. Experiential knowledge. Now follow along. Experiential knowledge is knowledge that comes through experience, not just information. I want you to catch that. Experiential knowledge is knowledge that comes through experience, not just information. When one lives in the know, one lives a life experiencing the joy of the Lord. When one lives in the know, one lives a life experiencing the power of God. When one lives in the know, one lives a life experiencing the peace of God. Living in the know is accessing the power of God that is available to us. Jesus invites us to experience him. Jesus invites us to experience his joy and his love and his power. The Apostle Paul testified of this in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. Listen to what he said. He said, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. Notice what he said. He said, I didn't come to impress you with $15 words. I didn't come to impress you with my college degree, even though college degrees are good. I didn't come to impress you with my seminary degree, even though seminary degrees are good. No, he said, I come to give you something that education can't give you. I come to give you something that a degree can't give you. That is the power of God. The power of God. Education is great. Get your education. If you can go to college, go to college. If you can get your trade class, get your trade class. But there are some things in life you cannot fight with a college degree. There's some things that attack us in this world that are so spiritual and demonic. You can't pull out. I can't pull out my college degree to fight that thing. I need the power of God. I need a demonstration of the Spirit of the Lord. And as Christians, we need to learn how to tap into the power of God. I was encouraged when I remind myself of the two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection of Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 24. I'm always encouraged and fascinating when I think of that story, how these two disciples were discouraged because Jesus had died and they had not heard of the resurrection yet. And they were walking away from Jerusalem. They were walking away from the hub of God's activity. And they were going back to their hometown in discouragement. I'm always fascinated when I think of that story, how Jesus pulled up on the side of them and was walking with them, but they didn't realize it was Jesus. They didn't realize it was Jesus. How can you not know Jesus is walking next to you? I suspect it is because we allow discouragement to cloud our vision. We got to be careful when we slip into discouragement and depression. This is why you still got to worship when you're discouraged. You still got to praise when you're discouraged. You still got to come to church when you're discouraged, because oftentimes discouragement will cloud our vision, and God will be working all along. He'll be there all along, but you can't see him because of the cloud of discouragement. This is what you call a sacrifice of praise. When you praise him, you don't even feel like praising him. You praise him and you're hurting and you're in pain. And I come into the house of the Lord anyways, because God is good and I want to worship him. So Jesus walked along with these disciples, and when Jesus left, they gave this powerful testimony. They said, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us? Wow. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us? See, Jesus didn't show up to them disciples just to give them information. Jesus showed up to them disciples to give them transformation. And I want to remind you that your heart could be burning for the Lord too. I want to remind you that your heart, it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. You could have been saved for 30 years. Your heart can still be on fire for the Lord. I want to remind you of that. I shared last week at our drive-in rally. We had a powerful time at our drive-in rally, and I shared last week, I'm going to share again, that I'm on fire for the Lord today, not exclusively because of what he did 27 years ago in my life. I'm grateful for what God did 27 years ago. I'm grateful that the Lord showed up in my darkest moment of my life. I'm grateful that the Lord filled me with the Holy Spirit 27 years ago. I'm grateful that the Lord saved me. I'm grateful that the Lord took me in when the world kicked me out. I'm grateful that when I was on the 3300 floor of the Los Angeles County Jail in a red jumpsuit and a bald head, Jesus showed up in a powerful way. I'm grateful for that. But if we could talk like family this morning, my brothers and sisters, I am not on fire for the Lord today because of what he did 27 years ago. I'm on fire for the Lord today because of what he did last month and what he did last week. I'm on fire for the Lord today because of what he did last night. I'm on fire for the Lord today because of what he did this morning in my life. The reason why many Christians' faith grows stale is because they stop experiencing the power of God. They stop experiencing Jesus in fresh ways. They stop experiencing the kingdom of God in fresh ways. They stop experiencing the glory of the Lord in fresh ways. And I want to remind us today, my brothers and sisters, you could never, ever, ever max out the kingdom of God. You can never, ever max out the kingdom of God. You may be able to max out that credit card, but you cannot max out God. We ought to be living with regular, vibrant, Holy Spirit-filled experiences of Jesus and his kingdom to keep us on fire for the Lord. Someone say amen to that. One last reflection today. Someone say number two. The early believers declared Jesus. They declared Jesus. Notice verse 2. I'm going to put it up on the screen. Notice verse 2. I think I have verse 2 on the screen. No? Well, let me read it. Verse 2 says, the life was manifested And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. I want to call your attention to that word declare. It says the life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare. Someone say declare. Someone say declare. Now, Jesus wants you to experience him so that ultimately you can declare him. I need you to get that this morning. Jesus wants you to experience him so that ultimately you can declare him. The reason why Jesus gives you an experience with the Holy Ghost, the reason why Jesus gives you an experience with the power of God, is not so that you could just turn around and enjoy life, or it's not so that you could just turn around and chase after the American dream. It's not so that you could just turn around and drink a piña colada. But the reason why Jesus gives you an experience with the power of the Holy Ghost is so that you could declare that power with your friends and family and generation. Jesus gives you an experience so that you could declare him. Is anybody following along? You are given the power of the Holy Spirit to declare the good news of King Jesus and his kingdom to this generation. We have the most powerful message in all the universe. We have the most powerful message in all the universe. And I got news for you. If you don't realize it right now, we are living in historical times. And people are desperate for something bigger than them. People are desperate for the peace of God and the power of God. And we have the solution to mankind's brokenness in the gospel of King Jesus and his kingdom. The reason why he gives you power is so you can declare it. When Jesus began to teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, listen to what he says. He says, but you will receive power. Someone say power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses. Someone say witnesses. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and Parma and Downey and Cudahy and Bell Gardens and Los Angeles and all the ends of the earth. I want you to notice, why does he give you the power? Why does he give us the power? It's not so that we can enjoy the power. He doesn't give you the baptism of the Holy Spirit just so you can speak in tongues and prophesy to other believers. It's not the reason why he gives you the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He gives you the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that you can be a witness for him. So you can testify. So you can share. So you can declare what God is doing in your life. How do you think the gospel spread from generation to generation? How do you think the gospel spread from generation to generation? You know how? They declared it. They declared the gospel. From generation to generation, they declared the gospel. The reason why you're saved today is because at some point in time, someone shared with you the good news of Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, may we not be the generation that drops the ball. May we not be the generation that drops the ball. I have a question for us this morning. I have a challenge for us this morning. When is the last time you shared your faith with someone personally? When is the last time you shared the gospel with someone personally? When is the last time you shared the love of God with somebody personally? When is the last time you shared the power of God with somebody personally? I'm not talking about putting a post on Facebook. I'm not talking about reposting something on social media. I'm talking about opening up your mouth and sharing with someone the love of God. When is the last time it happened? If you haven't done it in a while, my brothers and sisters, I got good news. I mean, not good news. I got challenging news. We are dropping the ball. Psalms 96, verse 2 to 3 says, sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day, declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all people. Wow, look at this verse.
Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory amongst the nations, his wonders among people. My brothers and sisters, we're living at a time where the harvest is ripe. We're living at a time where people are running to God. We're living at a time where people are just waiting for them to share, someone to share the gospel with them. We're living at a time where our generation needs the power of God like no other time, and God is waiting on us to share what we have been given. Last night at our Whittier campus, we have an outdoor service. I want to show you the picture. And we meet in the patio of our Whittier service. And our Whittier campus is by Whittier Boulevard, and it's just off of Norwalk Boulevard. So there's a big street right in front of it. And I was preaching the gospel. I was preaching this message that I'm sharing with you today. And I looked to my right, and I saw a car stop on Norwalk Boulevard and reverse, roll to stop, roll down the window, and stay there. I was preaching the gospel. They rolled down the window. They stayed for about 5 minutes. And, oh, that don't end there. It don't end there. God ain't done with that, those lives yet. About 5 minutes later, that car took off. And I'm preaching the gospel. 5 minutes later, I see two young ladies walk into the congregation and sit on the front row. Two ladies I'd never seen before. When I gave the altar call last night, my brothers and sisters, and I said, is there anybody? We don't give no easy altar calls. No, no. We tell people, you need to repent. You need to turn from your sin. Anybody ready to surrender their life to the Lord Jesus Christ? And I said, anybody here want to surrender their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ? Those two young ladies stood up right there in the name of Jesus and surrendered their life to the Lord. And we all experienced the power of God right there. And I'm on fire for God because of what he's doing it right now. Sometimes God has to suck you into the movement. I'm sure they woke up that morning, weren't probably thinking about Jesus. But let me tell you, when the power of God hits a corner or a block, people get sucked into the things of God. My brothers and sisters, our generation is ripe for the gospel. Let me close with this. How do we apply these two reflections? How do we experience more of Jesus, and how do we declare Jesus? Let me give you something just simple to apply it to your life. How do we experience more of Jesus? Number one, you experience more of Jesus in your prayer closet. You experience Jesus in your prayer closet. You experience Jesus as you press into the presence of God. You experience Jesus as you press into prayer. You also experience more of Jesus when you learn to live by faith. When you learn to live by faith, when you take your hand off your problem and stop trying to solve your problem and let God solve your problem, man, you will experience the power of God like never before in your life. And I believe God is telling someone today, let go and let him. How do you declare Jesus? This is what I want to share with you. Work your route. Work your route. What do I mean by that? Well, everybody here has a weekly route that we take. No, you may not be the milkman or the mailman, but you got a route. Some of y'all have been stopping by the same store for the last 10 years. Some of y'all are so picky, you use the same gas station every week. Some of y'all can tell me where you're going to be on Tuesday at 4 p.m. You know what block you're going to be at. You have a route. Everybody travels a route. And so my challenge to you is say, Lord, open up my eyes to my route and who I may be able to share the love of God with. Maybe it's the person at the grocery store. Maybe it's the person at the gas station. Lord, open up my eyes. And I'm not telling you to give them a three-point sermon and a poem. I'm just saying share with them what God has done in your life. Share with them the good news of Jesus Christ and walk away. Let God do the rest. You ain't got to argue nobody into the kingdom of God. Just plant the seed. And God will do the rest. Experience God in the prayer closet. Learn to live by faith and work your route. Let us bow our heads in the presence of the Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as the worship team comes back up this afternoon, let us reflect upon the word of the Lord. As everybody remains seated in the presence of the Lord, just for a couple moments, let's think about what was God trying to get across to us? What was the Lord telling us this morning? Let us bow our heads in reflection of God's word. If you're sitting, if you're watching from home, I would invite you to bow your head and just think about how the Lord spoke to you this morning, just for a couple moments. Anybody in here who needs special prayer for strength, and you'd like me to pray for you right where you're at, I want to ask that you just stand to your feet. If you're watching at home and you need special prayer, if you're able, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet as a sign of faith. If you cannot stand to your feet, just lift up your hands as a sign of faith. You're responding by faith. If you need special prayer, either stand up to your feet, I'll pray for you if you're in the house today. I want to pray that God strengthen you, encourage you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters that are standing up in this room. I also pray for my brothers and sisters who are watching online. They may be in their living room or a car. Father, I pray for special strength to enter in their life right now. I pray for special strength. I pray for special peace right now in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the spirit of discouragement over their life right now in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the spirit of depression in their life right now in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that spirit of depression. You must go in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that spirit of depression over that young lady who's watching online right now. That lady whose heart is filled with an anxiety. I speak the peace of God over your life right now. I release the peace of God over your life right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters and strengthen them, getting them through this time. Lord, we believe the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. In Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand praise. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand praise.